one of those days. Hey, everybody. It's the Side Quest, your weekly wonderful showcase of video games, video game news, and beautiful people. We are beautiful people. JJ is with us today. I'm Dolly. JJ is with us. JJ did not have a beard last week. This is the actual the COVID beard that he's got going
on. It's been a rough 2 weeks.
It's been a rough 2 weeks. No. You have a glorious beard, and I'm very proud to see your beard on camera whenever it's there. Makes me jealous. I'm afraid to grow mine out because Sam has a beard. Tom,
I have to compensate. It all disappears up top really, really young. And so, like, well.
My boss, you're exactly like my boss, because my boss doesn't have, like, never has any facial hair. He lost all his hair very young, younger than you. And so he just goes into the office with a completely shaved head. And we saw him on video today for the first time in weeks. And he had just a full bushy beard. And I'm like, dude, all right, you now have the shortest hair in the office, but the longest beard in the office. So that is freaking awesome. I've got to say, it's pretty damn cool. And also, Sam is here.
Hello, friends. You got to do the Thor combo like I got, where you got too long a hair and just too long of a beard, and it's blonde.
And you got a gut.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's more like down on his luck playing Fortnite with the alien Thor. But hey, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's all good. It's awesome.
Hey, that Thor, he really came together at the end.
He came together.
He was still out of shape, still not looking that great, but still was able to get it together.
Yeah. I'm on the upswing.
You're on the upswing. There you go.
Yeah.
And Tom, hey Tom. Oh God, I love Tom. Tom said he was going to be on. I'm sure he's trying. Anyways, we're gonna have a fun show today, as I always say, and ends up not being fun. No Aaron today because Aaron was up way too late playing Final Fantasy VII over the last several days, so now he's trying to figure out how to get his sleep.
Same. I finished it last night, and it was like, well, finished it at around 11:30, and I have to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So
let's freaking just get right into it and talk about Final Fantasy VII. You have been Sam. Have you played it either or no?
No, I have not.
So JJ, you're the one. I think you, Corey's played it. Aaron played it, and Zach were playing it. But Tom's getting his copy either tonight or tomorrow. But tell me about Final Fantasy VII. Is it a role playing game?
Barely.
Is there a cloud in it? Yeah, it's barely.
I don't have the same connection to the original Final Fantasy VII because I didn't play it until after 10 came out.
Oh wow.
So okay. 10 was like the actual like first Final Fantasy that I played.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because as a kid, did not like RPGs.
Oh, really?
Too slow for young JJ. I did not want to sit there and like take my time and do all this stuff.
You know, before we get into it, I want to ask this question. How have your tastes changed, both of you guys, like as
we've gotten older?
have you guys like opened up just to, you know, games, or are you still sort of this pro or against genre type of, not program, but like, have you guys still leaned heavily towards a specific genre?
RPGs and like simulations, like SimCity and stuff, were not my thing as a kid. But I like RPGs a lot now. And
okay.
I like life sims, I guess, more than SimCity. Oh, wow. Like, I like the Sims. I like sitting there playing the Sims or like the Tycoon games and stuff.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I didn't like those as a kid either, but I love like playing like a good Roller Coaster Tycoon or Planet Coaster or whatever the hell that thing
is. What about you, Sam?
I mean, I played mostly shooters and stuff growing up, like mostly action games. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as I've gotten older, I've played a lot more. Although I did love Harvest Moon growing up. So,
oh, really?
That's how you turned out the way you turned out. Yeah.
Action games, puzzle games, and racing games are like my top three. Like,
oh, really? Wow. Yeah. I think I was RPGs, hardcore RPGs growing up. And then obviously platformer in like the 80s and early 90s, was platforming was
It wasn't even like, you don't even consider it a genre, just you play platform.
It was
just the Mario type game.
It's just what games were. Even
it's what
like,
games were. Yeah.
Yeah, licensed games where it's like, it's technically platforming, but it's not really. It's just the core concepts of
it. And now my tastes are like, I'll freaking try anything. Oh, it's funny because I grew up playing sports games, every sport game that every year of NHL, both NBA Live and NBA Showtime and NBA 2K. I played all those, and now I'm like, sports games.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll pick up an NBA 2K if it's on like a crazy sale.
I never liked football games. I don't know why. I just never got into any of the football games. I liked basketball and I liked hockey. Those are like my two favorite.
I like the crazy fringe, the fringe style basketball, the fringe style sport games like Base Wars. Like we loved, my brother and I loved, actually all of our friends, we had like leagues, full on leagues in Base Wars and in Baseball Stars. And we would take our, in RBA Baseball, we would take our cartridge all over the place. The NES cart, we'd borrow it. And it's like, okay, you got to borrow it because you got to catch up on like two games. And then I'll pick it up tomorrow and then I'll catch up and we'll play against each other. We would play like 160 game seasons on the game. But you can't do that now. It's not it.
Although I did like Mutant League Football as a kid.
Oh, Mutant League Football was good.
That was good. Yeah.
See, if Mario wasn't playing the sport, I wasn't interested in it. So, played a lot of golf, played a lot of tennis, played a lot of soccer, and so a little bit of baseball.
What was the canceled Mario sports one? The pro wrestling crossover. Remember they had that?
Oh, it's right. They were like looking at that. Yeah.
It was like something weird too. It was like Mario volleyball mixed with pro wrestling or something weird. It was, I can't remember what that was.
They should make another Strikers game. That soccer game was real good.
That GameCube one was great.
That's awesome. Yeah. That GameCube one was, yeah.
And
well, even the Wii one, Strikers, was actually pretty good. Yeah, I gotta say. Okay, so Final Fantasy VII, the remakes.
Yeah.
Tell me about this game.
Well, what do you want to know? Because all that's on my brain now is the stuff that you shouldn't be talking about right now.
The spoilers.
That's the most interesting part of
the game. Let me just ask this before, you've played the original.
Yes.
Are there differences, like spoiler-wise, between this and the original one?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. So Cloud is actually, Cloud is Aerith. Is what we're he's wearing a different outfit.
Exactly. Yeah.
When he puts the dress on, you realize it. No. So, yeah, okay. That's good. It's good that they've changed it because, that's one thing that I didn't want to play a game, a remake, if it was just up-resed where it's like, okay, I get the Spyro games I played. They're cute. The Crash games, they're cute. But then you're like, okay, I play these games. You know, but
like, I really like it. I like the combat system in it. It's nice and flows really well.
How does material work? The material works the same in this?
You slot it into your weapons or your accessories. You level it up as you use it, and then it levels up your stuff, and you find it and craft it. There's a Chadley that you bring your assessments and stuff to, and he's like creating new materia and summons and stuff for you. And it's tough because I really do like the game, but it is also a 30 some odd hour version of a 4 hour segment of a video game.
They fluffed that up, yeah.
It absolutely feels like it at times. There are times where you're just like, this is the third time you're making me go into the sewers and I'm sick of it. Please free me. Aerith, let me go home. I'm just trying to get home. But it's just, some stuff just drags longer than it should. But it's fun getting to know the characters better because you're spending a lot more time with these characters and they've all got it's all actual voice dialogue
and they've added more new dialogue.
Oh, right? And they've sort of changed. It's sort of changed perceptions of some characters a little bit. And it's weird to hear Aerith. One of the first things you get out of Aerith is her swearing.
Nice.
Just Aerith. One of the first things she says is shit. So it's like, sure.
That's not the Aerith I know.
it's really it's good, but it's sort of wastes your time a lot of times in it. Like, it's, I would absolutely wholly recommend it, but it's, especially if you liked Final Fantasy, and I think the ending is going to be divisive.
That's what I've read, like, that's just the Twitter comments I've read is, some folks are, they're upset at that ending, but at the same time, they're, like, they're extremely intrigued by what the second half or whatever the next version.
Yeah, who knows with what, like, second half or...
Remake 2 or whatever they call it.
Yeah, whatever, the part 2 of 3. Because it feels like it should be 3 at this point, but with how much time they spent in Midgar. But, yeah, it changed a couple of things that, like, early on you start kind of getting a handle on... Because almost one of the first things they throw at you is sort of these new sort of spectral characters that are sort of flying around during some significant parts. And, like, I had to look it up. I'm like, I'm not crazy, right? This wasn't in the original game. So I had to look it up. And I was like, okay, these weren't in the original game. This is new to this. And, you know, it's, so you sort of, I kind of picked up where they were going very early in the game. They hint at it hot and heavy very early in the game, during the first part, first hour of the game. But, they bear all by the end of what's going on. And you can easily tell. You have to read a little more. Like, there is sort of, like, we're not going to say it outright, but, you know, here we go. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what to expect out of 2, based on what we've just expositioned towards you. So, I'm very excited to see the direction of 2 after the end of it.
I'm curious to see how long it's going to take for them to put this thing together.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, they really, honestly, they haven't even really announced 2.
Yeah, they just said, it's going to be probably one of a few.
Could you imagine if they just stopped here?
Oh my God.
It ends with the unknown journey continues, but it doesn't say soon. It doesn't say...
Isn't that how, like, Final Fantasy 13-2 ended? Was like, and no, this is going to be, this is just part 2 of 3. Okay.
I hope the downtime, but at this point, with all the craziness going on in the world, on top of new consoles, on top of all this stuff, I don't know. Who knows when this
is. That is an interesting fact, or an interesting point, because you do have new consoles coming, right? Supposedly still this year. Maybe we'll get into that in a little bit. Do you release the sequel on, like, the PS5? Yeah. I mean, the game is 1 year exclusivity to PlayStation before it hops onto PC and Xbox, maybe Switch. But you know, it's exclusive to the PlayStation right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Will we see this game arrive next year in sort of a pack-in? I mean, so here's what I'm thinking. You have all the assets for all the characters right now.
Yeah, like all the assets, a lot of the enemy, stuff like that. Like a lot of enemies and a lot of, like, stuff. Like, basically, the new stuff will be the map at this point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this one isn't an open world game. It ends before you get to the open world.
Mm-hmm.
So the next game theoretically should be a bigger game, because...
You'd think, yeah.
So, yeah, so... But, again, who knows what... Part 2 is going to hold, so...
Yeah. I think,
And there's kind of not going to be any need for, like, save transfers. It seems everyone sort of ends with roughly the same, like, same levels, same gear, same all of that. There's not a whole lot of... a whole lot of grinding and stuff.
Sure. And they could very easily just, you know, the way they start off the second one, because you're going to have a lot of folks that are... you know, start jumping into the second one. Obviously, if they pump the second one out sooner rather than later, then you may be seeing it on Xbox or whatever without folks picking up this first one. I mean, obviously, you can't get this first one in a lot of places, in most places right now. I was trying to order it on Best Buy, and it said sold out. Yeah. That's really all. And same with Amazon, sold out. All right, well, I'll be waiting.
I said screw it, digital.
I was going to get digital, but I'll see. I might. It's funny, but this game, because everything I've heard from the design and the characters, like you're mentioning, like you're actually learning more about the characters. You're connecting with them more. The combat's pretty good.
there's people are just some people are absolutely the spectrum I've read about is people are madly in love with this. There is the one of the best games ever made, definitely one of the best on PS4. Down to nobody's hating this game. The worst that I've heard is it's really good. The ending is divisive. That's like that's the actual worst I've heard. And if an ending is divisive, it doesn't necessarily ruin a game. Like, and I go back to like Mass Effect 3, right? Yeah. That ending was divisive, but I enjoyed the game leading up to that ending. And the ending doesn't. It's really about that journey, and everybody seems to be really loving or really enjoying that kind of the full process of it.
Yeah, it sucks because like you want to sort of give context to the ending and why people are passionate about it. You can't talk about it right now.
Yeah.
But like I would never fully grasp the pure hatred of it because you knew going in that it wasn't a port, so you knew things were going to go upwards, and it definitely it will make for an interesting conversation on this show later on.
Yeah, damn it! I'm now at the point where I'm like, and I mentioned it in our Discord. I'm like, you know, I have like this huge backlog. Like, I was gonna play Final Fantasy 12 before I played Final Fantasy 7. I was gonna play other games. Now I'm thinking I might just hop into Final Fantasy 7. Like right after I finish, I think I'm like doing a little bit of stuff in Animal Crossing, but that's the kind of game you can kind of chip at.
Yeah.
If we're talking about games that are playing, And I might just hop into Final Fantasy VII now.
I'm very, very bad at finishing video games.
Yeah, me too. but I forced myself.
Like, I haven't finished a Final Fantasy, like, during its, like, initial thing. I'll finish a Final Fantasy and, like, you know, I finished, like, you know, 12 over the course of like 5 years or something.
Sure.
But this one, I got it. I started playing it Saturday night and I finished it last night.
Here's how bad things are for me. I buy a game when it releases, or I'll wait till it goes on like some considerable sale, usually about around Black Friday. And then I'll finally crack the game open. And then like the next week it's on PlayStation Plus. And I'm like, well, shit. Like, the Nathan Drake collection, they're giving that away. Uncharted 4, they're giving that away. Last of Us, they gave that away. Yeah. And all these games that I had bought for the PS4, and I'm like, well, I've completed all the Uncharted games. I've replaying Last of Us, but like, shit, man, why bother? Why buy some of these games? Because I can just, I'm dumb for buying them.
This, I can see Final Fantasy VII Remake Standard Edition going $40 real soon. Like,
That's why I'm like, should I wait? Should I?
It plays real smooth, so it's like you're just playing it to like the next story element. And you're like, well, I can play a little bit more because it plays really well. It never stops. It just kind of keeps moving, which is nice. Plus, the soundtrack always just kind of keeps
moving.
Yeah, it's still the best, one of the best soundtracks in gaming.
And that's what people are loving.
Even having it remastered is worth the price of admission. Like, that's the best part. That's almost the best
part. You're loving the visuals, you're loving the music.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's
certainly not the best PlayStation 4 game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't, because it's treading zero new grounds. Like,
sure.
It just looks pretty, it plays familiar. And
it's no Double Dragon 4.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a
great awesome.
It's a great
Sam,
game. But,
yeah. Sam, are you interested in Final Fantasy VII?
I mean, I'll probably play it at some point. The most I played of the original Final Fantasy VII was like watching my brother play and then maybe fighting some minions while he went to go to the bathroom or ate like a frozen pizza or something.
Both are good things. Don't do them at the same. Well, you can do them at the same time, actually.
Yeah, I didn't play a lot of. I watched a lot of Final Fantasy until I was by like late teens, early 20s.
I think this game in particular, because of what it is, you shouldn't feel bad if you just want to watch somebody play it because it really is. It really is more like the prologue to actual game. Like, it's more story than it is gameplay and learning who these characters are, what they are, what their motivations are, and going to be going forward. Like, if it's something that you just feel like, I really don't want to play it, I don't think you could feel bad just watching like a long play of this one just to learn what this game is.
It really does feel like they're going to put out a second one. I don't think they're going to go full three. I think they'll adjust the second part of this game in my opinion. I think they'll adjust the second part of the game for, you know, another 35-hour experience. But main storyline, because it's open world, you'll have a lot of that open stuff. But part of me feels like a lot of the towns that you went to in the original will become more of like side story things rather than full, you know, full-fledged stuff. And they'll want to kind of keep you to the plot. But I definitely see a I could totally see a all-in-one game where it's just from start to finish, it's the full Final Fantasy VII experience, like some anniversary edition, you know, a 40th anniversary or whatever. When did the game come out? Was it like 95 or 97 that game came out?
Yeah, 97.
Something like that? Yeah, so you like a 25th anniversary edition will be everything all-in-one. That's cool. Yeah. Well, awesome, dude. Anything else you've been playing, or you just be kind of
just that? Just Final Fantasy has been.
Sam, what have you been playing, my dude?
I mean, for the most part, it's just been Animal Crossing again.
I see your name popping up, and it's like Sam is playing Animal Crossing.
So good. I started my crossbreeding of flowers today.
That's what I've got to learn how to do. I have not started that yet, but
one Google search away can get you the answers. I didn't want to mess it up.
So tell me, like, you've started crossbreeding. What else are you doing in your town right now? You've completed the quote unquote story. Have you started like just doing crazy town adjustments and terraforming and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've been mostly sticking. I've been doing a little terraforming, but mostly sticking to the like original layout of the island. You know, I wanted to be able to mess with it, and you know, who knows? 2 months from now, I'll get bored of my town and make it into like a little Sim City world or something.
Sure.
Right now I'm just trying to keep it out with the layout. So there's one house that I'm going to move. Otherwise, like everything's just going to be where it's at, where it was like originally placed. So I was moving some of that stuff around and like setting up my orchard instead of just a line of trees somewhere producing fruit. I was like, all right, let's spread it out so it looks pretty. And so I've been doing a lot of that stuff and just trying to enhance my town. What, you know, shaking trees every day, trying to get items, trying to fill that up. Museum up, but yeah, hopefully we get news of that update here shortly.
Yeah, the Earth Day update is supposed to be coming pretty soon, right?
It's supposed to be late April. We are now halfway through April at least.
Probably, I'm gonna guess it's probably next week that we get something.
Let's hope,
to be honest. Yeah, I am.
But yeah, so I've been playing that, still probably will be playing that for the foreseeable future, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I've been playing a little bit of The Surge 2.
Okay.
So if you've never played The Surge, it's basically Bloodborne, Dark Souls, all those types of game, but technology. So you put on a bunch of electric gear, and it's in space. Right? Well, it might not be in space. I honestly don't know. We're on a colony of some sort. I don't know.
We're all in space.
We're all in space.
There's a plane crash. They're not specific if it was a plane or like a space plane. So I don't really know what's going on. There might be aliens. I don't know. It's weird. But... you can fight the same type of tense battles like you do in the Souls series, but in this one you can like chop limbs off and then learn the armor sets or weapons that those enemies had. So if you fight somebody that has really cool leg armor, like a really cool weapon, aim for the hands and hopefully you get the prop to chop them right on off and take them with you to look at. So there's cool stuff like that. You have a little floaty turret buddy that has a bunch of different gadgets and stuff that you can put on him. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It does feel, and maybe it's just because I've played a lot of these games now, like you kind of get in the same flow of them. So it's like, it feels like instead of putting a lot of enemies at me and putting the next like campfire or in these, they're like med bays further away from you. It's just throwing like, hey, here's like 5 to 10 really hard guys in like 3 hallways. And then we're just going to allow you to loop back. So you can just fight these 10 guys like twice, then fight the next 10 guys. And there's a couple of like cool marquee moments in air quotes that I've been through so far. But it's open world, so I could be going other places. And actually, I did divert at one point and got completely rolled. So I was like, all right. Apparently, I'm not supposed to be here yet, and just ran somewhere else. But it just like in Zelda fashion, if you really want to hit somebody for like 2 damage over the course of an hour and maybe kill them, you're more than welcome to go that way. But otherwise, like maybe go this way.
What you're playing on PC?
Yes, yeah, it's part of Games Pass right now.
Oh, okay, nice, nice. There's a lot of stuff coming off of Games Pass, some bigger games that they announced.
Yes, I heard there was a very negative reaction, but there, I looked at it on the list, and there's like maybe like 15 games, but are there not more options out there for Games Pass? Buy them for 20% off. They've offered it to you for that.
I think my Game Pass is still running at the regular, at the normal Game Pass price. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't, honestly, I'm upset I haven't like really dove into it because I've been catching up on other junk. But well, it's still a great deal. It doesn't matter what's leaving because you're still getting great games every freaking month, every couple weeks.
To be honest, I appreciate that they rotate out because you don't know how many times I've been like, okay, let's see what's on Game Pass. Download 5 games. Play only one of them. Just keep that hard drive space taken up forever.
Yep. I've got to do that. I've got to clear out my hard drive space. Now is a good time for spring cleaning, just destroying all the – just deleting all the games. I'm never going to play Assassin's Creed China. I don't even know why I keep it around. I just got to freaking delete it.
I've got all these, like, PSVR games.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Like, they were, like, 40 minutes long, but they're still there, clogged.
They're same, exactly.
It's digital tax season. You've been keeping all your receipts and everything over the course of the year. Now it's time to recycle that shit.
It's just,
Completely agree. Completely.
Final Fantasy VII is like 90 gigs.
Holy crap. I can't fit that on my PS4 until I beat other stuff.
If you get it physically, it's 2 discs.
So then here's what I have to do. Yeah, it's 2 discs. So here's what I have to do. I'm going to finish whatever I'm playing. So speaking of games I'm playing, I'm going to finish what I'm playing on my Switch, which is I'm just about done with Treachery and Beatdown City. That's the game. We got a review code for that. So I'm finishing that up right now. Wolfenstein 2, I'm technically done with the game, but I'm going back. Anybody that's played it, there's like this whole kind of secondary meta portion where you can go after like the Uber commanders or whatever that is. So I'm kind of going back through that a little bit. But then once that's done, I am freaking diving into my PS4 and I'm going to take care of, you're going to laugh, Injustice 2, because that's soaking up, the story is soaking up so much space on my hard drive that as soon as I finish that, which I mean, to be honest, it's just one-on-one battle, Mortal Kombat style.
You really have to know what happens to Joker at the end.
Yeah, exactly. He gets his own movie is what happens. So my goal is to finish that and then I think Final Fantasy VII. Depending on how Final Fantasy VII shows up.
So I have one of these super expensive joysticks. Nice. So I sit there and my PS4 is just loaded with fighting games because I spent the money on this thing. I can't just
you have to
fighting
yeah.
games. I have to have all the fighting games on there. I haven't touched I haven't touched Injustice 2 in ages, but it's still there.
It's Marvel still there.
I've played about 10 minutes of Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, but
what do you guys feel like is the so every fighting game has like basically had big releases lately. By the way, that's all I've been playing is just those games. let's move on to just like general conversation. Tekken 7 was out, right? Was that the latest Tekken 7? Fighter 5 has gone through a bajillion iterations. Smash
it just had its like theoretical final update.
Let's see. Smash Brothers Ultimate is just getting DLC now. You know the characters.
Soul Calibur 6, you gotta Soul do Calibur Dead or Alive. 6,
yeah, Dead or, so what's like the next? I mean, Mortal Kombat 12 isn't gonna come because that's more. They're still kind of plowing through
11.
Mortal Kombat 11. Yeah. Is the next game like basically Injustice 3? Is that the next fighting game we're gonna be talking about? Do we know about anything else really coming out? Tekken versus Street Fighter? Is that
Sega's been teasing something?
Okay,
so Virtual Fighter might be around the corner at some point. Like it's been a while since there's been a Virtual Fighter.
Oh my god! Could you imagine Virtua Fighter characters in Smash? Bring some.
Yeah.
I could dig a new Virtua Fighter game because I played the hell out of that like in the arcades.
You know, Virtua Fighter and like Fighting Vipers and things like that. There's a lot of like dead franchises that would be fun to see revived at some point.
Bring back Power Stone.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. I think fighting games need more than a. Fighting games need more than a season pass of characters.
Yeah.
They need to really sort of embrace that esports experience onto home consoles. And I'm not talking like, oh, you can do your own online tournament. That doesn't mean anything. Like, you really need to push. You need to almost go the battle royale route with a fighting game. And, you know, where
100
you're...
100 Gokus enter the arena.
100. No, but I mean, like, you're getting season passes for content. You're getting seasons in the game. You're really going all out and making it a something that you want to keep coming back to. Like, the reason people keep coming back to Apex and Fortnite and all that kind of stuff isn't because the gameplay, because it's nothing special gameplay-wise, but they keep introducing these little advancements, these little touches. And I'd love whatever next fighting game or whatever comes out. And I think feels like they're ready to finally take that next step into what
Mortal Kombat, like NetherRealm has been like on the verge of figuring something out with like the Towers of Time and all of these enhancements and stuff that you can add to the characters. Cause like you get more costumes, you get pieces that let your character look like another character and you save that as like your own.
I think they're close. They're very close.
They're on the verge of being the ones to sort of figure it out. It's not there yet, but if someone's going to do it, it would be like, you know, NetherRealm or
I agree.
It's definitely not going to be like Capcom.
No, that's for damn sure. No. Capcom will make Street Fighter 6.
But I mean, like, you know, Tekken always throws in like weird shit too. Like, you know, Tekken 3 had like the volleyball game and
you're right.
That double dragon game. Yeah. Tekken 7 has a VR mode.
Does it really?
Yeah, but it's just like it puts you into this weird like waterbed and you just fight. There's no health bars, there's no anything. It's just like character viewer.
And speaking of which, do you guys remember Street Fighter 4 3D for the 3DS?
Yeah, what was that? Yeah, it was like, oh, it had like a weird name. It was like, Street Fighter Alpha 4 or something.
No, it was for the 3DS. It was Street Fighter 4 3D. Oh,
I thought you were talking about the actual weird 3D Street Fighter.
Oh, no. Fighter Alpha. Yeah. Did you know Street Fighter, was it Third Strike?
Third Strike's one of the more well-loved.
Yeah, I have those now on, what is it, the collections out there, which is pretty nice. But
Street Fighter 4 3D. They put out that anniversary.
Yep.
That's a really good collection. That's actually
Fighters.
But, yeah. I love these fighting games. I'm not great at them, but, whatever.
All right.
I can hold my own. I'm not winning any tournaments, but.
I'm never going to win a freaking tournament fighting game. All right, well, let's move on to, if we're done talking what we've been playing or not playing or wanting to play. Definitely not playing Valorant yet. Come on, all right? We'll get there eventually, hopefully. Let's talk about some of the news that's breaking. There's not a ton of news, but we can chat a little bit about it. One thing I want to touch on is, Sam, I'm gonna kind of push you as being the news dude. So I'll tee it up and let me know if you haven't heard the news, and then we'll go from there. So Sony to limit initial PlayStation 5 supply. Have you guys heard this?
What does that mean?
JJ, why don't you go ahead then, since you responded first.
I read the news story. I don't know what limiting it, and they still don't know what the price is. They're fighting over the price of the PlayStation 5. What does limiting mean exactly? Like, what does that mean in this sense? Like, they can only make so much and are only releasing so much.
Well, I don't know. It comes from Bloomberg, right? And Bloomberg is saying that like Sony's going to limit that initial. I'm kind of reading the Game Informer summary of Bloomberg, and they're saying, you know, they're looking potentially to only pump out 5 to 6 million units, because partly it's not the COVID thing, but it really is. Part of it is that price, because the price could be so high that they want to angle the PS5 as, let's start it off as sort of a premium console, because we got to make this price so high and really sell to those folks that really are hardcore PlayStation folks and not aim for more than that. And then if we do get extra sales, great, but let's really kind of make this more of a premium device.
Yeah, it's for the enthusiast. It's like a hi-fi system or something. It's like, most people are happy with their CD player, but some people have this tower over here that has everything on it, and that's sort of,
You might be happy with one CD, but we got a case with like 50 sleeves in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's interesting because we don't know what's going to happen with these next gen consoles. I tend to think Microsoft is much further along because they've kind of laid the majority of their cards on the table at this point. So I kind of think that they're going to have enough consoles ready for launch, and they've probably I wouldn't be surprised if they started manufacturing these like last year, because it really does feel like they've been just well ahead of the game.
They've had no problem showing it off. Like, that's the thing with it.
And what this Bloomberg article says is part of the problem that Sony's running into is that they were going to have events. They were going to have a big event to debut this thing. And with COVID, now they can't do it, right? Yeah. And so they're backed up now without – I mean, you're looking – we just got the notice today in Michigan that it looks like they're going to have, like, giant sports festivals banned until the end of the year, right? Yeah. So when that's happening in a lot of the states. That's happening in a lot of the spots around the world. I mean, we'll get into some stuff right now with game conferences. But Sony could be – Sony was hoping, I'm sure – that they could put out this big event to launch the PS5, and now they can't. And now they're thinking, let's just kind of do an online presentation, and that's it. I mean, even Nintendo, for their Switch, they actually had an in-person event in Japan. I think they had, Pokemon the day before or a couple days before, and then they had, the big Switch thing. Even Nintendo did a big event, and they, there's value in it, but now Sony can't. So they're sort of, I think that's what's really kind of causing their frustration, that they can't market this thing the way they want to.
An entire department is going absolutely crazy at Sony right now, trying to figure out what the hell to do in terms of PR and marketing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's most tech businesses across the planet right now. What we're supposed to be doing, we can't do. And, we have to shift all of our commercials to being about, we're all in this together, as opposed to buy our thing.
We're all in this together, # PlayStation 5. It's going to be really weird to see how they market going forward, I think. I mean, they're going to have to only do a digital thing. Again, Microsoft, we basically know everything that Microsoft is doing with the Xbox, Series X. It's just... now we just got to see the games and give us the actual date and the price. That's all that's left with Microsoft. So, also apparently that controller reveal was rushed, from what this article is saying and other articles they're saying, is that they sort of, once this COVID stuff was really kicking in, unfortunately, they didn't have a place to market it. So I'm assuming that this would have been the time frame, sometime in April, end of March, beginning of April, that they would have showcased the PS4. They were gonna, or PS5. They would have had an event, and it really does kind of fit that timing when the coronavirus started bubbling. Started really making waves in beginning of February, is when things started getting kind of pushed back, and then now Sony said, "Well, we got to put something out there. Let's get this controller out there." Well, the controller's out there, but we don't know what the rest of this freaking console is. Yeah. So, and you can't have Mark Cerny put people to sleep again. As wonderful and soothing as his voice is, and I'm sure that information is fantastic for developers. For the rest of us, that's not a way to.
We were never supposed to see that, but they need to get content out there.
They need to get content. PlayStation 5 is still a thing, everybody. Yeah. I tell you what, guys, I am. As much as I've been more like a PlayStation gamer this generation, I was definitely Xbox 360. And I tend to bounce back and forth between between Microsoft and Sony. So it was PS2, then Xbox 360, then PS4. It's gone back to Xbox just because I know exactly what I'm getting with the Xbox, and they're, I'm sure there's still a few little tricks here and there, but they've announced everything I've needed to hear. Even though there are things going to be monolithic, but that's fine. I think some people are actually liking that. They're basically Aaron-sized consoles.
Yeah.
Sony hasn't announced anything, and I don't even know what freaking. I mean, Godfall. It's the only thing that we know about. Meanwhile, Microsoft has said, "Hey, our biggest gun, literally Halo, is going to be an Xbox Series X launch title." So there you go. And I'm thinking, oh shit. What's Sony going to do? I mean, God of War 2. But it's kind of, you really have to put something of that quality out to, you know, what are you going to put out? Mag, was it Mag 2 or whatever that game was?
Right? Mag, yeah. Massive action game.
Massive action game. That's going to be what they're going to launch with. SOCOM. But, you know, it's like Sony's in a weird place.
I'm always happy getting an Xbox at launch because I know for me, like, I'm not the biggest Halo fan, but I love me some Forza.
Yeah, you and me both.
They always launch with a Forza.
We're eventually going to start this side questing F1 league because all of us we're all in the cars right here and racing games.
But like, we know Sony's not going to launch with a Gran Turismo, so what do I care on that end?
We'll see. This is a really bizarre time frame for Sony. So, and they said 5 to 6 million units in the period ending March, which is their fiscal year. They said the PlayStation 4 sold 7.5 million units in its first 2 months. So you're looking at essentially half of that rate of return. So
the PlayStation 4 is weird because it's sort of ground to a halt. Like
lately it has, yeah.
Yeah, like if it weren't for like Death Stranding and Final Fantasy, it really was sort of like, well, God of War was our last huge thing or whatever.
So honestly, that's what I was going to kind of slowly transition into. Yeah. The PlayStation 4 has had one of its best weeks ever in Japan by selling 70,000 units because Final Fantasy 7 came out. That's one big thing. Yeah. Final Fantasy 7, I think they said it was like the fourth or fifth highest launch for the PS4. But also because you cannot buy a Switch right now because there is no Switch consoles available. And Nintendo's people are buying PlayStations now because they can't buy a Nintendo Switch console, which is great for Sony. Actually, in a weird way, it's great for Nintendo because it's got this pent-up demand. But so Sony is making, is selling a ton of consoles. And they've done their kind of dying breath right now. Their last Halo, their last toss is this game. I mean, you have Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us 2. Last of Us 2 isn't I don't think the Last of Us series or Uncharted series are big in Japan. I'm not sure. Ghost of Tsushima could definitely be a bigger seller out there. They're sort of weirdly benefiting from there not being the Nintendo consoles to buy. Sony has had a extremely good week in terms of sales. But you're really going to see that sort of peter off over the next few months now. And I still think Last of Us 2 gets pushed to late summer, early fall, because that's when, I mean, you have Cyberpunk is launching in September, and then you're going to have Ghost of Tsushima in June, and I mean, you're probably not going to put a game out. I mean, this year might be different because people might still be. Yeah. Part of me is thinking people might still be stuck indoors in some places, but I think folks will have so much pent up cabin fever that they'll want to be outside and visit close friends and family. So there may not be a lot of gaming taking place this summer. So it's going to be it's so weird right now for Sony. I don't know what to expect from them.
I did it at the beginning of this, like, the console cycle, like, when the Xbox One launched and the PlayStation 4 launched. Like, PlayStation 4 was clearly the better of the two choices. Mm-hmm. The Xbox didn't really do a whole lot out the gate. Mm-hmm. But at the end here, the Xbox One X is actually my favorite of between the two. I have the One X and the Pro, and the One X just, it does exactly what I want it to.
Okay.
Like, it's got, like, the games, like, it's like, well, I could get it on the PlayStation 4, but I do get the 4K assets on the One X, and it's also a 4K disc player. I have a 4K TV with HDR. Mm-hmm. I just bought the Star Wars box set.
Nice.
All the 4K versions of those movies, so it's like,
excellent.
It gets the most, outside of the Switch, is my most played.
Same here.
Outside of the Switch, the Xbox is somehow my number one played console. I don't know how it happened, but it did.
My shelf is just full of PlayStation 4 games. Full of them. My digital shelf is full of Xbox games.
Right?
The Game Pass.
I definitely have more physical PS4 games because.
I probably have more physical PS4 games than any other freaking game system on the planet in my home. I have it's like all blue. My whole wall is blue. I have some red, spines, and I have like three green spines, but they're all digital. Like the majority of my digital stuff is Xbox, because I'll just constantly click the download button for Game Pass. Like I'll just take it. I don't care. I'll suck up the space on my Xbox. So
if you had to guess, you know me. You know I collect. I have all the hardware.
Sure.
What do you think? Which system do you think I have the most physical content for?
Most physical content for?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna say PS3.
My guess is GameCube.
You nailed it, GameCube.
Oh, is it really? Holy shit!
I have so many GameCube games.
Nice.
There's just so many stupid, weird games that are good on the GameCube.
There are. Here's a question for you guys. How do you get rid of games, essentially? And what I mean by that is, like, I look back at my previous, my GameCube, my Wii, my PS2, my PS1, and I have very few games of those. I don't even know where those went. I don't know where all my copies of those games went. But I look at, like, my PS4 Switch, and there's like 100 physical copies of games. And I'm thinking, how the hell, what happened to all those old PS? I have two PS3 games, and obviously I don't play them. One of them I think I stole from my brother, even though I quite fondly remember playing PS3 games quite often. And I'm like, where did my copy of Mag go? Like, I look back at the GameCube, and I'm thinking, I had both of those Zelda collections. Where the fuck did one of them go? I opened up the case. I know I got like a free copy of, you know, you got Mario Kart, you got like Zelda with it or something crazy. Like, I remember Nintendo was doing those demo discs, the 2-in-1s. I'm like, the demo part, where the hell did it go? So, yeah, crazy times.
I'm absolutely a console hoarder. So,
it's, yeah,
it doesn't matter what. So, you always have to have something to play on.
Nice.
Like, nice. I have a. You got to get a handful of Famicom games. Got to get a handful of GameCube games.
Yeah.
Got to get at least one of some.
Got to get at least one. A couple more news bites, because there wasn't actually a ton of news.
No.
Valve's Steam Game Festival is returning. So that's coming back this summer. During the week that E3 was going to be, Valve is doing their Steam Game Festival, which is essentially them saying, here's all these demos of PC games you can play during this time. And they're working with developers. There's actually a place, like, they even have a website open for indie developers that are interested in putting some of their games on Steam in front of people. So that's kind of cool. And they just had that for GDC, and now they're doing a whole game festival for E3. Excuse me. And I know, like, IGN is doing their sort of summer games festival. We're planning something, wink wink. You'll hear more about that soon enough. And so there's a few folks here and there that are sort of planning a digital gaming experience. another one that's planning a digital gaming experience, I kind of use as the lead up. Exactly that sound. Was that you, Sam? I have no freaking idea. It was the poltergeist in Sam's house. Gamescom, it has now essentially fallen victim to the – there's a big sweeping order in Germany right now, where they're sort of banning large gatherings from taking place up to a certain point. Well, Gamescom takes place the week after this ban lifts. And so they decided, you know what, let's just call off Gamescom, because people are going to be very weary. Attendance is going to be nothing. We want to be very careful. No one wants to be the first person at the dessert table. Definitely. It doesn't want to be Gamescom where you get, you know, a million people show up all at once. So, they're going strictly digital for their show, their conference. And they're planning it now, whereas E3 was just like, yeah, forget it. We give up. We were going to do something digital. We decided not to. So they're planning their whole conference, their whole week, I guess, to be a digital experience, which I think is going to be really cool. They're still going to have that opening Jeff Keighley night press event, which might be like one of the biggest press events this summer now or this year, because there really hasn't been anything. So keep an eye on that one. Gamescom is now going fully digital. They're the next casualty of this pandemic that we're in right now.
I can't imagine PAX West being anything this year.
Yeah, it's funny because I have not gone to a freaking game event since since PAX East of last year, and I'm itching. And everyone I was planning on going to GDC, cancel. Planning on going to E3, cancel. Kind of thinking maybe Gamescom, cancel. PAX West, probably going to be canceled.
Like,
bring back E3 for all.
Yeah, the sickest I have ever been in my life has been after I left the PAX. So I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that, when that happened. I remember you were posting about that. Lord.
It's like, 100% positive I got the bird flu because it's when that was going around. There was a confirmed case, and everyone is gross and dirty at video games.
Side questing doesn't have a very good track record.
No, we do not. No, we do not.
It's usually either somebody comes just completely wrecked or leaves completely wrecked.
Oh, God. There are so many amazing stories. What was the Sam, you basically started writing for side questing because somebody got sick on side questing.
Yes. Yeah. It was one of those things where I was going for just a normal consumer. It was my last year going to be as a consumer. And Ryan got sick and I basically showed up on site early. And Ryan Gann was like, hey, can you run to his hotel room, grab his press pass, and then just Ryan go to all of his appointments today? And I had you guys were like, yeah, hey, he's new in side questing. We'll give him like an appointment or two. Like, you know, he's here on his time or whatever. And I show up and immediately it's like, hey, you have like 6 appointments today because Ryan likes to overbook. Is that cool with you? And I was like, I guess. I went and sat in on probably the worst appointment I've ever been to. Not because the appointment was bad, but because I had absolutely no business being there. And it was when he had an appointment for what is the MMO that is Skyrim and Elder Scrolls Online?
Oh, well, yeah.
It was the appointment for that, and I like my knowledge of Elder Scrolls up to there was like, again, watching my brother play maybe like 30 hours of Morrowind, Skyrim, and Oblivion and stuff like that, and I was like, cool, all right, is the Thieves Guild in this one? All right.
Are there dragons in this game?
Yeah, that I couldn't write. That was the one like thing that I was sent to that I didn't write about because I told Gann, I was like, look, bud, I've got absolutely nothing. Like, I was a terrible interviewer. Mm-hmm. And he's like, ah, that's cool. You made up for it. It's like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 And you got sick, JJ. And then I think I've gotten sick a few times.
I've gotten sick almost like the last time when I was there for side questing two years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to go on vacation the next week.
I had
on a plane from Washington State to Florida. Not a good time.
Part of the problem for me isn't like picking up something, but it's not getting any sleep when I'm at these. I think that might be a big part of it is obviously getting a lot of people together. Then somebody's sick and no one's taking, we're gamers. We don't take care of ourselves, that whole thing. But we don't sleep. And for a lot of us that are going to these events, we're up real late. We're drinking a lot. We're tired and we're drained. We're not getting our rest. And then at least I know I don't. And I used to get very sick at these events because I wasn't like, I'd be on like 3 hours of sleep. I remember one year, I think it was one of the years that Dan slept in our room. Sam, you may have been in that year too. I'm not sure, but we were like, we rotate. We're notorious for rotating bed, floor, bed. You know, you kind of rotate who gets what. God forbid anyone's spooning anybody. Dan was in our room. I think maybe Ryan Franklin and you. I don't know who it was, but there was like 4 of us in the room, and I just remember getting maybe like 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And I remember one night like Dan ordered pizza at like midnight. And the guy showed up, and Dan had fallen asleep through. Like the guy was banging on the door, and nobody heard him.
Now was that the last year Gann and your brother went.
Maybe that
was the same year that we paid like $45 for a like 5-block taxi ride.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, that was the year where I was like, we gotta calm this stuff down.
Yeah,
I think that was like year 3 for me, and I was like, this is already out of control.
And now that we're veterans, we're like, we just want to sleep. We're like, okay, it's like we'll just hang out at the Westin Bar.
I feel like this past PAX, it was the two of us, and Tom was also there for GamerX, and I feel like the two of us just acted like dads the whole time.
Yeah, we did.
I started my brand new job on Monday when we got back.
That's right.
I left like Sunday and pulled in at like 8 o'clock at night and was like, yep, I'm going to just stare at a screen for maybe another half an hour. my eyeballs will officially roast out, and then I'll just go start my new tech job tomorrow.
Oh, Lord. Good time.
Even just going as a normal person, that show's going on until like 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So it's like, oh, you want to watch some concerts? Well, it's 5.5 hours of concerts, and the panel you want to go to is going to be at 9 a.m. or something. So
I like, tell you guys what, we're not going to get the same traffic on our site without all these party lists. That's for me. Yeah. Sure.
We're just going to have to start throwing our own parties.
Yeah, exactly. Party in our room. You can join too. Oh my God. I'm so going to do an E3 party list, but it's just like there are no parties happening.
Just host a private Zoom meeting every night.
Actually, you know what? That's not a bad idea. We could do a private
Zoom. Have one camera streaming Call of Duty and having other bad music blast in the corner. And then
very loud DJ music.
Yeah, another photo of like some like, you know, laptop that's badged like incorrectly or from how it's going to actually come out.
Yeah. And then like, a really bad indie game in the corner, which is like somebody really trying to sell you their indie game here. Yeah. We'll do it. Anyways, we'll move on real quick. XCOM Chimera Squad was announced. There's a new XCOM game coming, and it's a pseudo-sequel to XCOM 2. Takes place sometime, like 5 years after XCOM 2. It's not like not XCOM 3, but it's XCOM Chimera Squad, and it's they have a few new things in there. It's got definitely more of a lighter feel to it, lighter visual style, but they're really kind of pushing this this idea of what they're calling a breach mode, which is kind of lets players adjust where they're, you know, shape the battlefield, kind of put their people where they want to instead of kind of the way the XCOM has been in the past. And then interleave turns, which is this kind of this different alternating turn order. So, yeah, there's a new XCOM game coming out of nowhere. Boom. And, you know, it's only coming to PC right now. So, sorry, everybody. And that's coming next week. Cool. You guys XCOM guys at all?
I played the original one, not the first one of this franchise.
The original XCOM.
Yeah. With XCOM 2 coming to the Switch, there's a real chance that if it doesn't run like total horseshit, I might pick that.
Yeah, up. I'm tempted. Yeah. Well, like speaking of things coming to the Switch, Crysis has been announced. Crysis Remastered is coming to PS. You guys remember Crysis? Does it run Crysis? Remember
Does it
that
run Crysis?
Yeah. Crysis Remastered is coming to the PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. And the whole port system, the whole thing's being done by Saber Interactive. And it's a weird one because Crysis is already on the PC and the PS4 and the Well, it's PC and Xbox One because you can pop the disc right in and play. But so this is a remastered version, but it's coming to Switch, and they're promising. The funny thing, the promising is not 4K visuals, but they're what do they call? What's that hot buzzword right now? Sorry,
The ray tracing RTX ray tracing, stuff.
API agnostic ray tracing solution for PC, PS4, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. I'm curious to see how that's gonna work on the Switch, but.
It's definitely one of those things that I want to see with my own eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't need some sizzle reel on YouTube saying like this is actual gameplay from the Switch. I need to see this one with my own eyes. Are the people clamoring for Crysis again? Like is that like,
I don't know. They got to be working on a Crysis 3 if they're bringing Crysis 1 back. I mean, that's all
it's,
I'm assuming.
It's the only reason I could assume you saying like, yeah, let's put it would be one thing if it was they're putting Crysis on the Switch because that's just what they do.
Sure, yeah.
These people will just dust off whatever game they want. It's like, you want Turok 2 Seeds of Evil? Here it is.
Yeah. You guys want Space Quest? Actually, that space those Quest games would be pretty badass.
I was bummed because I was... I typed in like Commander Keen and they only have like the second game on the Switch.
Shit.
And I'm like, just put
what the hell? Come on, guys. Well, they just re-released, by the way, they did just re-release the original Double Dragon games that were on the NES are now on the Switch. Yeah. You could have initially bought them as the part of that bundle that was out like a few weeks ago.
The River City,
but now you can buy all those individually. So I'm kind of tempted to play that really bad NES Double Dragon series.
Oh, it's so
bad. It was so bad. It was good, though.
It's what we had. It's all we had.
Exactly.
If you wanted to play Double Dragon.
And then when you played it at the arcades, you're like, this isn't Double Dragon. I remember playing that. I remember playing Double Dragon in the arcades after having played it at home for several years and thinking, this is not good. This is not Double Dragon.
That rare replay collection that has Battletoads on it, but it also has Battletoads Arcade, which is like I assumed it to just be a better looking version of Battletoads, but I'm like, no, it's just like, it's like Battletoads sucks and this is somehow worse. I don't know what's
going on. And then let's see here. I think the only other big news that we have is that you can now have Animal Crossing icons on your Switch with the latest
firmware 10.0 with the important
firmware 10. The Animal Crossing. No, really. The other big news is that Star Wars Episode I Racer has now been confirmed for a May 12th date for the PS4 and Switch, which I think it's already available on PC in sort of its upgraded version, and that version or some version of that version is coming to the PS4 and Switch. So we can pod race. The only good thing to come out of the original trilogy, besides Jar Jar Binks, is the pod racing sequence. There we go.
So the PlayStation 4 has Episode 4 Racer Revenge.
Which is
the PlayStation 2 Episode 1 Racer, which is the one where we have to scale things back to
get
from the arcade version. And that game's not fun. It's not. I'm an Episode 1 apologist.
Okay.
I genuinely and unabashedly love that movie. But man,
I'm gonna mute you in a second. You know, I'm just kidding.
I don't defend it. I just say that I love it. That's I get it, but I don't care. Boy, I don't want to play that again. I mean, I paid a lot of money to get the limited run version of Shadows of the
Empire. Did you really? Nice.
Nintendo 64.
Nice.
Is it
a cartridge that actually plays on the N64?
It is a physical reproduction Nintendo 64 cartridge.
That's awesome. I want to get those old Street Fighter 2, games for the N64, for the Super NES that they made. But
I got the HDMI adapter for the Nintendo 64.
Oh, dude! Wow. So
playing some of these games like over HDMI with a clean signal is really fun. Like Shadows of the Empire is not the best game, but just to sort of look at it with the glasses that you were wearing when you were a teenager or something goes a long way. It's kind of fun. It's like, this is how I actually remember the game looking, not fuzzy and 480i and gross or whatever.
You know, one game that I'm missing, not picking up, and I'm still kicking myself, is the Ultra Street Fighter 2. I did not pick that up for Switch, and now it's going for like $80, $90. I'm just kind of pissed off.
It's good, but I like the collection more.
I like the collection more for sure, but I would have loved to actually get a physical copy of Ultra Street Fighter 2 just to have, because it was one of those first games that came out on the Switch. But, well, gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Thank you, Tom, for joining us tonight, gracing us with your presence.
Always a pleasure to have you.
Yes, and we'll chat next time. JJ, where can we find you?
The _devil_j on Twitter and DisneyCompendium.com.
Yes. Sam, any place we can find you or just right here?
Right here, exclusively right here. World premiere right here.
World premiere. Excellent. You can find me at Adamowski. You can find us at SideQuesting on the Twitters, SideQuesting TV on Twitch, SideQuesting on YouTube, and sidequesting.com. That's really where the best place to find us is. Thank everybody for joining us this week. We do appreciate your time with us. Rate, review, blah, 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 blah. We hope you're staying safe. That's the most important part. Stay home. Listen to us. Watch us. We'll see you on the next episode of The Sidequest. Charles is killing my head. For the day now, he's a thief.